Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. Guilty on all 30 counts, Boston bomber Zahar Saniyev may now face the death penalty. That process begins next week, and it will be up to the jury to decide. For a better understanding of how that jury process will work, we want to turn back to Northeastern University law professor Daniel Medwed, who's also an expert in criminal law. Welcome back to the show, professor.
Hello, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Is it the same jury that's going to hear the penalty phase of this trial as just heard the guilt phase?
The precise same jury, 7 women and 5 men who presided as jurors over the guilt phase, will also handle the mitigation or sentencing phase. There are 17 charges that are potentially subject to the death penalty. If the jury finds beyond a reasonable doubt on any one of those 17, Todd, then Mr. Saniyev will be sentenced to death.
So the legal standard of beyond a reasonable doubt, how does that work in the sentencing phase? He's already guilty.
That's what happens. So at the guilty phase, he's found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of the substantive charges, those 30 charges. Now at sentencing, the prosecution has to show more, guilt plus. They have to show that one or more aggravating factors are proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Some of the aggravating factors that might come into play, Todd, or whether this crime was committed in a particularly heinous, depraved, or cruel manner, whether it involved substantial planning or preparation, and whether any one of the victims was especially vulnerable. The prosecution will have to prove one or more of those factors beyond a reasonable doubt on top of the pre-existing guilty verdict.
So how does the defense strategy, which we've seen throughout this trial, of basically admitting Zahar Saniyev's role in these crimes, not disputing the charges, but putting the blame on the older brother, the radicalization on the older brother, Tamerlan, suggesting that Zahar was sort of a follower here and was influenced by his brother. How does that strategy play into this process that you're describing?
It'll play into this process, Todd, in the following way. The defense has to put on so-called mitigation evidence, evidence that suggests that the jury should spare him his life. And some of those mitigation factors are whether Zahar Saniyev was, quote-unquote, a minor participant in relationship to his brother, and or whether he acted under duress, that he was coerced by his brother. Since those are explicit mitigation factors under the federal rules, I anticipate that the defense team will continue to tell that story. Tamerlan was driving this bus, he was the dominant force in this enterprise, and Zahar was just a follower.
There's a question throughout this trial, Professor Medwed, that I've been wondering about as we've seen this defense strategy of effectively admitting to the charges but going for these mitigating factors. Has Zahar Saniyev personally shown any indication of wanting to fight for his life?
Such an interesting question. We don't know. We don't know. If he wanted to die, if he wanted to volunteer, as it's called to be a volunteer, then presumably he would inform the defense team about that and they would cease and desist and there would be a very different strategy. So we can infer that he's willing to fight for his life. And in fact, even when you look back at the events of the marathon bombing, these weren't suicide bombers. There was no exit plan. He didn't commit suicide by cop. There's a reason to think that he does want to live and he's fighting the charges.
And the chances that we see him take the stand in his own defense in this sentencing phase?
Oh, I'd say slim to none, Todd. There's so much to lose here. We don't know how he'll play in front of the jury. Thus far in court, he has not appeared, to the lay observer at least, to be especially remorseful. A lot of people have commented on his callous or cavalier affect. So I think there's a lot to risk by putting him up on the stand. He might come across as cavalier to begin with. And in addition, he would then be subject to withering cross-examination by the prosecution.
The guilt phase of the Boston bombing trial is over 30 guilty counts. 17 of them could lead to the death penalty. The next phase of that trial begins next week. Northeastern University law professor Daniel Medwed, thank you for walking us through it.
Thanks so much, Todd.
And we put this question to you. What punishment do you think would be just and fair? From Morristown, New Jersey, since murder is not solved by murdering someone, I say life in prison. You can weigh in too. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.